Welcome to episode 190 of 4th and John. I am Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building, a.k.a. Mr. Born Eagles fan. And Prime is not the only Born Eagles fan around here. It is Joe Flacco, Audubon, New Jersey's native. A prodigal son has returned. Anyone stepping to Joe Flacco is getting burned. That neck beard, if that's what you're into, Eagles, so be it. I see a lot of people on the timeline. I'm surprisingly wondering, what are y'all thinking about in terms of how much QBs on the street cost? If you just realize that, you know, you can complain about the gas prices going up, right? Because, you know, you see how much the gas prices are. This is what happens. This is the going rate for a quarterback. You know, he's a Super Bowl MVP. He's not the same Joe Flacco that won a Super Bowl. We all understand that. But we just know that he's serviceable. Potentially, he could lead the way and help mentor young.
Wrong.
Evan says it's wrong. But I'm just going to say the deal is $3.5 million guaranteed. It's 1 year, $4 million, $3.5 million guaranteed. Incentives up to 7.5. I think that's got people feeling a certain way, but we don't think he's going to see that 7.5. So relax, folks. This is the going rate for quarterbacks out there. We have a guy in place that hopefully he doesn't rock the boat. And Andy Weidel, these are ties back to the Baltimore Ravens. So we're just trying to make it make sense. It's a move that it's a decent signing. I'd rather have Joe Flacco than Chase Daniel.
Yeah. I mean, Gail, like, I think you pretty much, and this is totally not out of the ordinary. Surprise, surprise, Eagles Twitter was losing their shit. I honestly, when I first saw this news come down, the Joe Flacco signing, I was kind of totally on board with it. I don't know why everyone was freaking out. I get that it's Joe Flacco, and he's not the Joe Flacco that won the Super Bowl MVP. I get that. He's past that point in his career. But let's just like look at this for what it is. When I saw Joe Flacco get signed as QB2, that means to me that we're willing to move forward with Jalen Hurts at QB1, and that we're not going to be really looking at a QB at the sixth pick overall in the draft. That's not what I wanted to do to begin with. I've been on this show week in and week out talking about how I want to go for a skill position or just fill any other hole, even a Sewell, just anyone, fill any sort of hole and just see what Jalen Hurts has for a year. And now it looks like we're going to get that opportunity. I don't think that Joe Flacco represents any sort of threat to Jalen Hurts and losing his job. I think Joe Flacco understands the role that he's coming in here at as a backup quarterback. And I think he's going to be a good leader. I mean, he's a veteran presence. He's won a Super Bowl. I haven't heard tremendous leadership qualities about Joe Flacco in the past, but the point is he's been there before. So let's think positively about this. This is a good thing, I think. What do you think, Brian?
So, I mean, yeah, it was definitely a lot of mixed emotions yesterday on Twitter. A lot of people were upset. A lot of people were through it. I was one that was actually okay with this. I mean, again, like you mentioned, you know, I mean, his veteran experience coming to, you know, the organization and showing Jalen Hurts, you know, a thing or two. And then, yeah, we could go ahead and, you know, put this to bed where now we are set on our QB1, you know, Jalen Hurts going as our starter. And then, you know, again, just seeing what, you know, the push that we could get out of both of these guys, maybe getting the best out of each other when it comes down to training camp. You know, I caught a couple games Joe Flacco ended up coming in last year. And to me, the guy, like, you know, he still has stuff left in the tank. You know, I saw a pretty good game out of him, especially when he played New England, that one Monday night game last year. So I'm pretty confident. I mean, hey, it's like Gail said, you know, I mean, we could have went with Chase Daniels or someone like that. And I'm glad we didn't go that route. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely okay with this signing.
And I was a guy that, like, I was saying I wouldn't mind bringing in a Fitzmagic into the organization. But then you watch him get signed for $10 million, And like all these people that are complaining about Joe Flacco, like you could have been paying way more for a backup quarterback position for someone that you don't anticipate seeing the field at all. I mean, the hope is that Joe Flacco doesn't play at all because Jalen Hurts is playing great all year long and he stays healthy. So, I mean, if you are paying, you know, $3 million plus incentives for a guy who is a former Super Bowl MVP, I mean, I think that's a pretty good deal.
And I'll repeat this again. The way my bank account is set up in my Kevin Hart voice. I mean, we don't have money. We do like when you're broke, you do broke things. Okay. Instead of going to the Sizzler, get that dope steak, you're going to like Mickey D's and getting a Happy Meal because you can't afford it. Andy Dalton, you know, you just talked about Andy Dalton. Well, you know, Andy Dalton, 1 year, $10 million. You know, Fitzmagic, a 1 year, $10 million, $6 million guaranteed. Jameis, five, 1 year. Jacoby Brissett, 1 year, $5 million. We're still not down to Joe Flacco numbers here. You know, this is what we're talking about. AJ McCarron, 1 year, 3.75 guaranteed. Cam Newton, 1 year, 3.5.
So he's making like roughly, minus the incentives, he's making roughly the same as AJ McCarron is this next year. Mm-hmm. Like comparatively in their careers, who's had the better career, AJ McCarron or Joe Flacco? It's not even close.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Flacco is a mass signing. I get it. But it's just weird to see the fan base just up in arms over some dumb shit always.
Are you surprised?
Come on, man. It's QB2.
You shouldn't be.
It's QB2. As long as there's a certain vibe in the locker room or in the QB incubator system with Jalen Hurts, we're talking a guy who's, you know, he's been there and won a Super Bowl. You don't think he could pass anything on? Like, people are like, oh, did he really mentor Lamar? The last two places he's been behind younger quarterbacks. It is what it is. He knows what his career is. And the people are like, well, he signed for $1.5 million. Well, that was coming off a neck injury. Again, I will remind you that this is the going rate for quarterbacks these days. Mm-hmm. If I can tell you that Chase Daniel, how much did Chase Daniel make in his career?
It's shocking.
It's very,
very
shocking.
It's ridiculous. What is it? He made like $38
million? $38 million over the course of what, 12 seasons? What has Chase Daniel done his entire – he's been a backup his entire career. Man's made almost $40 million.
And, man, listen, that man has to be one hell of a pencil sharpener.
I mean, say it again. How much money did Chase Daniel make?
$38 million in his career. And he signed a few years ago with the Eagles. He made $7 million in 1 year. That's double what Joe Flacco is going to be making this year. So I don't want
to hear anyone out there crying about Flacco when we already signed like the human playbook in Chase Daniel a couple years ago. So this is what it is. Like, it is what it is. We're doing broke things right now.
We're broke people doing broke things, man.
We're moving differently. Get with the times in the program. I just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, does this mean Joe Flacco's not here to compete? I'm sure in his, you know, OG mind, he's like, I'm going to give this young whippersnapper everything I got and my neck beard. But at the end of the day, he's going to come in and he's going to be a more serviceable too. I feel like the Nate Sudfeld. Are we high on Nate Sudfeld?
Hell no.
Would you rather have Nate Sudfeld?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, Nate Sudfeld's nothing more than a QB3 in this league. He's nothing more than a real final option. Joe Flacco, to me, represents someone that, you know, isn't what he used to be, but still has something left in the tank. If you need to call his name for if Jalen Hurts, God forbid, were to get hurt and Joe Flacco needs to go play the fourth quarter, that's a guy that I feel comfortable in just letting him go.
And I mean, come on, we're talking about somebody who actually has stats. Like, he's got some game behind him. You know what I mean? He's been in the record books. Like, he's done things in his career where Nate Sudfeld, hey, listen, at one point, you know what I mean, we were excited because he was a backup. But no, he's got nothing compared to when it comes to Joe Flacco. So, I'm nowhere near the comparison on that one.
And people will try to use numbers. And, you know, Flacco went 0-4 as a starter. He had 55.2% completion percentage. He had 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 80.8 passer rating, and he was ranked PFF second worst graded QB. How bad were the Jets?
How bad was Carson?
I mean, the whole team was bad. So I'm not gonna put too much weight into this. Just like I'm not gonna put so much weight into Jalen Hurts' record here, because we could have won that last game if they didn't not kick a field goal or try to score a touchdown. So like, people will use these numbers when it makes, they'll try to make it make sense, but at the end of the day, the real ones will realize like we got a quality backup QB2.
And that's just the thing. He's a quality backup, man. I mean, the dude still got some sling behind that arm. I mean, again, going back to that New England game, seeing him throw that 50-yard bomb. Like, I mean, we're talking about Joe Flacco, who hasn't, you know, I mean, really started in a long time. And then connecting the way he did, hey, I mean, I still see, you know, some potential still there. And again, it's the confidence that we want to have, knowing that if, God forbid, something happens to Jalen, we have a steady, backup quarterback.
And while we're on the topic of Jalen, did you guys have the same mentality that I did when I said when I was talking about in my opening, in that this Joe Flacco signing to me means that I don't see us going for a quarterback at 6 overall? Do you at this point with having 2 QBs on the roster?
I mean, in theory, it makes sense not to go that route, but I can't put it fully out of the question that the Eagles, aka the QB factory, wouldn't try something if, say, said Justin Fields might have slipped, or I'm not going to put it out of question, but I feel like if I'm the GM, I'm going Jamar Chase and getting the dog in a weapon for QB1.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I mean, that's the thing right now. That's what everyone's thinking and like trying to make it make sense and say, like, I guess this means the Eagles are out of contention for a quarterback. You know, I'm not gonna believe it until I see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's totally fair. Yeah.
After last year's tomfoolery, I mean, no, I'm not believing anything until I see it.
Yeah.
We all know we're still looking at the weapons. I almost said weapons for Wentz. Weapons for Hurts. Freudian slip. Freudian slip.
Yeah,
you still can't find a way to keep that man's name
out. I almost said it.
And we were talking about Joe Flacco and how just his stats were pretty nothing spectacular on the Jets. And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid here with the Eagles. I mean, if Jalen Hurts has no one to throw to, if his options are so limited to where, you know, I mean, Alshon's gone, Deshaun's gone. And so this is bringing up Jalen Reagor and Jay Naw as starters on this team right now. You need to put some weapons around him. Otherwise, he's just going to have Joe Flacco's Jets numbers this year. And then we're going to sit here and look and be like, well, why couldn't Jalen figure it out? It's because he's got no weapons. You need to give your quarterback one weapons in order for him to succeed. You need to give him an offensive line in front of him. There's so many holes on this offense and on this team entirely that we can't be just getting cute in the draft. You can't be just taking a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. And I'm not saying that those top guys, you know, wouldn't work out. I'm just saying you have to just take a jump, a leap of faith, and just, you know, hope that Jalen Hurts can work out and with weapons around him.
Got George Michaels over here. You got to have faith over here. Is that what you're saying?
Got to have faith.
I mean, in a perfect world, I mean, that makes sense. And like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I feel like I'm not sure if this QB class, I think you have this QB class this year. I'm a little like, if you wanted a quarterback and we were picking in the top 10, this is the exact year to do it. If you were picking next year, people are like, well, you can come back next year, but are they as good as this crop this year? I'm not sure yet. Like, I think you have some road dogs that you could really, you know, Trevor Lawrence,
But like that's exactly the point, is that a lot of this crop that's so good this year isn't going to reach us anyway. Trevor Lawrence is arguably like everyone's right, talking about Trevor Lawrence like he's going to be a generational player. He's not falling to us.
Exactly. So, like, but I'm just saying in terms of this group of guys, like, you know, the fact that Adam Schefter's out here talking about 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks could go one through. It's never happened, but it could be this year. Or he said lock this in. 4 quarterbacks will go between the first 7 picks.
And to me, that is music to my ears. That's music to my ears. That just means that we have that much more of an opportunity to get either Chase or Pitts. Because if they're taking 4 quarterbacks, that means that one of those 2 guys at least is going to be there at 6.
I like it.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I would much rather have the top wide receiver, top tight end in this draft than the 4th best quarterback, personally.
Another scenario that presents itself is if the Eagles are sitting at 6 and a QB-hungry team is now lurking. Say our guys in,
Carolina.
Chase is off the board and Pitts is off the board. And the Eagles are sitting there like, you know what? We can move back and still maybe get a Waddle or a Devontae Smith or, you know, a
corner
or, you know, a weapon or a corner. Mm-hmm. And they feel like getting the King's ransom for that spot that presents. And if that presents itself, that's not a bad grab right there. You know, you scoop up a JC Horn, you move back. That's a thing, and there are, I think, the second to third round, the really great value there, and that's where you can really get some, you know, some starters, and you know, people will always look to the first round as the be all to end all, but really you got to win in the second and third rounds, and I think that's where the value, guys that could be potentially graded from probably, you know, 25 to like 40. You know, might have the same grade for some teams. So, like, we can move back and find some players. But, you know, if that happens, I really just want to get the dog. I really want to get the dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I would be over the moon if we end up moving back and ended up scooping another day 2 pick. That's gravy, man. If we're able to capitalize in that first round selection and then add an additional pick the following day. It's just more opportunities for Howie to either miss or make, man.
And that's just the thing. I mean, we're stuck with a lot of opportunities. It just all depends on how they go ahead and approach it. And that's the tricky part, man. Is like you look forward to this day and then you're like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? But the fact that we have so many opportunities, I hope the guy, they get at least one of those opportunities right.
Now, if you were Jalen Hurts and after this signing happened, you wake up today. How are you feeling? What's your first thought after the Joe Flacco signing?
I honestly would have the same feeling as I'm having right now. I'm not viewing him as a particular threat to my job. I'm seeing, okay, the team, I'm the only quarterback on the roster right now. So we have to have a backup. And if they're going out and choosing a guy that is obviously past his prime, he's not a threat to me and my job. He's a guy that is I'm going to contact, first of all, unlike the whole Carson Wentz situation, I'm going to contact him, build some sort of rapport, and then hopefully I can learn something from him. That's where I hope Jalen's head is at. And quite frankly, he seems like a very smart guy with a head that's on his shoulder. So I think that I'm hoping that's the route he takes.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has to have that mentality, getting up in the morning and realizing, hey, look, man, I'm not going to be a Carson and have dreams and nightmares. Like, look, I got a guy that has to fill in a roster spot. He could go ahead and give me some help. You know what I mean? He has experience in the league. I could go ahead and pick his brains, you know what I mean, on some stuff. And then we go from there. I mean, he should be, like, excited and not at all worried about any type of competition or this guy's coming in to steal his job or anything like that because, you know what I mean, we already got through all that shit.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving. Let's focus on 2021.
If I'm Jalen, I wake up this morning, I feel like, you know, I'm getting that QB1 tattoo put on a sleeve or something. I'm letting it be known. I'm feeling
Donnell Pumphrey, bro.
I'm feeling kind of special. I'm feeling like I'm the guy for this year, and I That's if I'm Jalen Hurts, that's what I would be feeling. I think internally that they probably told him that this is the route they'll probably go. I'm thinking. I heard Howard Eskin was like, he's like, it's buffoonery that people thought that the Eagles were actually going to draft a quarterback at six. He's like, that's not happening. When I saw Merrill Reese say, there's no way that they're drafting quarterback at six. Hey, but if you're looking at how it's set up monetarily, you're paying chump change to have a starting quarterback. We do have to pay another quarterback on another roster. So, I mean, it's still, you know, it's we got to bargain for a quarterback that we hope can be the guy.
Is there anything that's in the back of your mind that is just kind of like, because as I was on board with this Joe Flacco signing, there's still that thing in the back of my mind of he doesn't really fit what we're trying to do with Jalen Hurts. He's a different style of quarterback. Right. So what's your guys' thoughts on that? Because we talked about bringing in a Tyrod Taylor or a Jacoby Brissett, someone like that, that would kind of is more in line with Jalen Hurts' skill set. And then we wouldn't have to change up the game plan that much if Jalen were to go down. So what's your guys' thoughts on bringing in someone that's like kind of got a completely different playing style?
I think it is what the, you know, what the market is. I mean, that's what's out there. Yeah. I mean, and now you're at the bottom of the barrel. And then, you know, you find something that you're familiar with. Andy Waddle's like, you know what? I've seen the Ravens win a Super Bowl with this guy. My former colleague, Joe Douglas, is the guy that found Joe Flacco. So yeah. Obviously the intel and the mindset, you know, he'll call up Joe. He said, how was, you know, Joe Douglas, that is.
Yeah.
How was Flacco last year? Is it worth it? You know, like, you don't think they're going to have a real conversation?
Right.
Besides the neck beard, he's a solid backup.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point, Evan. I mean, I honestly didn't even think of that. But at the same time, now that, you know, I mean, it's out in the opening, I kind of look at it as like, hey, why not? You know what I mean? Why not mix up me speaking as Jalen? Why not mix up my skill sets with what he has, the skill sets that he has, and then, you know what I mean, combine them both together and, you know what I mean, put it to work. Yeah, we know that Joe Flacco is that pocket passer, you know what I mean, and, you know, he's got the experience with that. And who knows? It's just all about getting those key aspects from what Joe has done, you know, and feeding off of that and then building off of what he could learn from him. So, I mean, it's a good point, though. Like, yeah, I didn't even think twice about that.
Is there one thing that we can count on this year? I mean, we've never seen Nick Sirianni be a head coach of a team, so we really don't know what to expect in his game plan. But we can put the two quarterbacks out on the field at the same time to bed this year, right? Like, that's just not going to be happening. Joe Flacco taking the snap and then Jalen Hurts out wide. Like,
how dumb was that? Now you think about it.
Can you guys at least verify for me that I have been saying since, I don't know, the draft when we took him and they said, we're going to make him Taysom Hill on steroids. I was like, I fucking hate that idea. I hate it.
Hey, no, I mean, I think it was kind of cool because you got to see Carson with his best play of the 2020 season. And that was that block he put on. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, it was all right. But yeah, going into this season, I definitely don't want to see it no more neither.
I mean, if you're starting quarterback, throw a pass to the second string quarterback, that signs on the wall for you're about to be out of here.
Wait, that, man, Drew and this guy did it. You know what I mean?
Now he retired. And McNabb was throwing passes to Vic in the slot. You're like, yeah. Vic's like, yeah, I'm about to take this position. It's like Jalen Hurts was like, yeah, buddy. It's weird, right?
And honestly, thinking back on it, like they went into that season with the anticipation of doing that kind of stuff. And we never even saw like the full potential of it. Like that part is just as aggravating to me. It was so bad. And I hated it 100%. But I just wanted one time to see them line up where, you know, one of the quarterbacks was out wide and then you lateral pass across the field. I think they tried it one time and it ended up getting blown up. But I'm just sitting there. I'm like, that's the only play I wanted to see, where you lateral across the field and then you go deep. And
let's play rugby. Why don't we play some rugby? I mean, God, the plays that they were,
that was so aggravating.
Plays that they were using, I've seen in flag football.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, are they doing this? They're actually doing this. So I mean,
backyard football.
At the end of the day, the Eagles have a QB2. I'm not going to say he's QB2 in our hearts yet. It's only been a day. It's very fairly new, you know.
Is he going to wear number 5? I don't.
Number 5 won't love you today. I mean, what are they? What numbers are available?
Yeah, I don't think that's available.
He's going to wear number 11.
Three, 4, maybe.
Oh, how weird is that? Imagine he's like, I'll take number 11.
Oh, yeah. To be honest with you, after Carson took 2, that will be the icing on the cake if Joe Flacco comes in here and wears 11. Could you imagine, though? You'd see so many Wentz jerseys with tape over the nameplate and just Flacco.
And then Flacco's like, I am.
Elite. Oh, what? Well, and now that I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my fat head, maybe I can go ahead and just throw a Flacco picture in there. Yeah. I don't got to get rid of it.
Makes everything a whole lot easier.
It's funny because Flacco at one point was the highest paid quarterback in the league at one point. And yeah, I remember when he got paid, everyone was like, and I remember when he was trying to get paid, and I was like, this is not the most talented quarterback in the league, but this is how it is. You know, yeah, this is what it is.
Hey, I remember his signing bonus being absurd. Wasn't his signing bonus like 90 million or something like that?
It was a sick signing. Yeah, I remember it clearly. You know what I mean? The man's talking about put some respect behind my name. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I mean, and that conversation lasted for what seemed like forever. The is Joe Flacco elite? And I'm honestly, if you're sitting there and you're teetering, then the answer is probably no. he was never really. I mean, he had some great seasons, some elite-like seasons, but was Joe Flacco ever an elite quarterback? I don't know.
No, he was
not. He was definitely propped up by a stellar defense.
And you got, yeah, exactly. That team had two sides of the ball, so you know what I mean? That played a big factor.
Yeah, but he's not here to lead the team. He's here to be a backup quarterback in a very simple role. You hold a clipboard, pal.
That's
and you give some pointers to the young guys. That's what we're asking you to do.
Hold it on the side, hold it in front of you. You know what I mean? Horizontal, however.
At one point last year, we had a retired quarterback that was on our roster just chilling out in Texas coaching his son's football team. So, I mean, we've had worse options.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's probably got to move differently. When you're a guy like Flacco, who's played so long in this league, the dude has made a career earnings of north of $170 million. That's called, I'd say he's elite in that area. Like, he's like, you know, like
that kind of guy
doesn't eat fast food. He's like, no, I have my butler. He's making great poupon at home. I'm going to work in the garden after the game. I don't do anything that you young 20-year-olds do.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you move differently when you make 170 mil in your career.
100%.
So maybe you'll pass on wisdom, what stocks to buy, what to invest in, Jalen. Look at him as a sponge. Be a sponge to Flacco.
Yeah.
we're really trying to push this this Joe Flacco signing. It is what it's QB2. There's nothing more, nothing less. We have a veteran in the building.
It is what it is.
Evan Prime, any last words before we get out of here?
No, I would just say look out for more Fourth and John podcasts coming up. I have a feeling that there might be another one dropping very soon after this guy.
Yeah, we'll be breaking down the defense tonight and some potential pieces that we add to the table. Look out for that podcast. But for me, Evan, and Prime, as always, it's Fly Eagles Fly, and we'll see you guys in the next one.